Today we have the pleasure of having Nam Shakti Kaur as our guest speaker. She's been studying science of mind for over 12 years. She started reading the books when she was in high school and then was introduced to the Agape Center in LA and took her initial classes there. And then when she moved here, she wanted to be a practitioner, so she joined the center in Leesburg that's run by Reverend Sunday Cote. And she just graduated, just had her graduation. Yay! And she is getting ready to take her oral panels next month and has already done a mock panel that was incredibly successful, and we expect nothing less from her experience, that it will be inspirational and divinely inspired when she gets her license in next month. So that's exciting. She's also a certified Kundalini yoga teacher, a vegan health lifestyle coach, and certified by the Main Street Vegan Academy in New York City. She's an intuitive energy master healer and Ayurveda student, a doula student, and a student of ministry for religious science already. So she has an impressive resume, and we are blessed to have her here to share with us today. Here's Nam Shakti.
Thank you for the introduction. So I'm going to start by just telling a little story. So there's this fortunate man who worked for 40 years, and then he retired with $7 million in his bank account. That's 7,000,000,000,000,000. This money came from years of drive and devotion, intelligent investments, earnestness, talent, dedication to duty, thriftiness, and great adaptness. Along with all these attributes, he also inherit 6,999,999.00 from his dearly uncle.
Way to go.
So as this man, that could be us if we change our mental equivalent. So does anyone know what mental equivalent is? Yes? Okay. I'll just explain it anyways. This is what Ernest Holmes said in Science of Mind. I got the definition from there. He says, having a subjective idea of the desired experience, as we bring ourselves to a greater vision that the range of our present concepts, we can then induce a greater concept and thereby demonstrate more in our experience. So mental equivalent is opening our mind for a greater thought than our present thought, so we can then bring a greater vision and thereby manifest more into our experience. So this man, if he keeps the mental equivalent as, you know, being poor, lack of, he will definitely not have that money soon. He will spend all the money because his mental equivalent is that of a poor person. So if he doesn't, if he changes his mental equivalent as a more abundant person, then he will keep the abundance, the prosperity, the money that he just attracted. So how can we do that as individuals, as us? So when I was 23 years old, I had recently gone through a very hard breakup. And in this breakup, I was very sad. So I decided that I was no longer going to be sad. And at that time I was reading Joseph Murphy, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind. I read that book like it was my Bible. I read it every single day. And I got one of his affirmations from there, which stated, I'm now attracting into my experience a man that's honest, sincere, loyal, faithful. And I embody all these qualities. I also say wealthy because I wanted someone wealthy. and I embody now all of these these words into my subconscious, my knowing that it's done. And I set this every single day, morning and night, morning and night. So my mental equivalent before was one of attracting relationships that were bad, because I grew up in a home where my mom, my stepdad cheated on my mom with the neighbor, with everyone. So my mental equivalent was that of cheating, of not being there for your partner, not supporting your partner. And I knew that I no longer wanted to attract these type of relationships. So I took it upon myself, we're not really still understanding what I was doing, but I affirmed every morning, every night for 3 months. And I said that I'm attracting this. And then 3 months later, I decided that I wasn't gonna date anyone, but I met this man and he was wonderful. He had all the qualities that I said I wanted in a person. And now he's my husband. We've been together for 9 years. So it works, but you have to maintain yourself always knowing this truth. And you can do this with anything, with health, with prosperity, with relationships, all you desire, it's already yours because you hold that divinity of creation within you. It's just about remembering who you are. Okay, so how do we change our mental equivalent? So we do not judge by appearances. So, you know, the news, we're so bombarded with so much negativity around us. And we have to be that light. We have to be that force of joy and see the beauty in everything. Even when there's something that we don't agree with, we have to be in that space of light for that. That way we are focusing on the positive, we're focusing on the beauty, we're focusing on the light, and we're deepening our practice by doing that, because we're practicing that meditative thought of love, of light, and we can be that frequency when we start focusing on that we desired. And we practice the presence of God by seeing His presence everywhere, seeing the beauty everywhere, focusing on the beauty and what we want. So again, that focus. So bringing our focus always on what we so desired, and knowing that when we focus on love and service, we're being greater than what we're doing what we need to do. You must furnish a mental equivalent. So you have to always constantly practice telling yourself and remembering who you truly are, because we're human beings and we have habits, and our habit thoughts are always going to go back to what it was before, from our old belief system, what our parents told us, what so on, you know, the society wants to believe ourselves. So we constantly have to remind ourselves. We constantly have to be in that place where we have to tell ourselves, oh, hey, you know, you're thinking a little bit out there, get back into your truthness. That's conscious thinking. It's getting back to that moment right now, that present moment where we can truly remember. So it's remembering that we are divine. We are bountiful. We hold the light of the universe within us. That is who we are. And if you're quietly persistent, you will gain victory. You're victorious. So quietly, always knowing that remembrance. And I love this. Love this. True activity is always from within outward. False activity tries to work from without inward. So coming from a space of within, you know, when we put our focus outward, we try to get that connection with the outer world, but the outer world is not where we need to look upon. It's that inner world. That inner world that is abundant, that is love, that knows the true self. There's this wonderful thing that Michael Beckwith says, and he says, when you're not feeling like yourself, which is holiness, sit your butt down and meditate. So sit your butt down and meditate when you're not feeling connected to your true self, when you're feeling irritated, when you're feeling like the whole world is falsely coming, that whole victimhood that we're the victims. Sit your butt down and meditate. And I got this beautiful quote from the Course in Miracles that I wanted to share. There's a deep responsibility you owe to yourself, and one which you must learn to remember all the time. The lesson will seem hard at first, but you will learn to love it when you realize it is true and constitute an attribute to your power. You who have sowed and found littleness, remember this. Every decision that you make stems from what you think you are and represents that value that you put upon yourself. Every little thing you seek and think you want defines you as little to yourself. Believe the little can content you, and by limiting yourself, you will not be satisfied. You will not be satisfied. For your function is not little, and it is only by finding your function and fulfilling it that you can escape from littleness. Our function is not little. When we think we're little, we forget that divine sacredness that we hold. We're so powerful. We're beyond powerful. And it's when we become little is when we forget. It's that ego trying to take over, edging God out. There's another one I like too. The world can give you only what you gave it, for being nothing but your own projection. It has no meaning apart from what you found in it and place your faith in. Be faithful unto darkness and you will not see, because your faith will be rewarded as you gave it. You will accept your treasure and it will place your faith in the past. The future will be like it. If you place your faith in the past, your future will be like it. Whatever you hold dear, you think is yours, the power of your valuing will make it so. So putting our trust, our faith, and that we know that everything is good, that it is all falling into place, even when we don't see it. But when we start encountering and surrendering to that all is well, then we can truly be in that space of love and who we truly are, because that's who we are. It's just remembering. And this is what Ernest Holmes says in Science of Mind about trust. If one will have faith in himself, faith in his fellow men, in the universe, and in God, that faith will light the place in which he finds himself. And by the light of his faith, he'll be able to see the all is good. And the light shed by this faith will light the way for others. We become conscious of darkness only when we are without faith. For faith is ever the light of our day and the light on our way, making that way early visible to us, even when to all others it may be the beset with obstacles and the outgoing rough. In order to have faith, we must have a conviction that all is well. In order to keep faith, we must allow nothing to enter our thought which will weaken this conviction. Faith is but up from belief, acceptance, and trust. Trust. Whenever anything enters our thought which destroys in any degree one of these attitudes to the extent faith is weakened. So we have to keep reminding ourselves, because we're human. We're going to get those thoughts, you know, and it's catching yourself and coming back to that remembering. I remember I'm divine. You know, sometimes I don't feel worthy sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I come back to, I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. Because there's nothing in me that's not worthy. And there's nothing in you that's not worthy either. We're all totally worthy. And I wanted to just read one more thing from the chapter that we were reading. And it's, fearlessly announce that you are the truth and nothing but the truth. Know that within you now dwells the eternal God, for all the present, all the power, and all the good there is with you and is you now. So building your mental equivalent is by remembering who you are. And by remembering who you are, you can go in that place that you know you're prosperous. There's nothing in you that's not prosperous. There's nothing in you that's not abundant, that's healthy, that's whole, that's perfect. We are perfectioned. That is who we are, is perfect. So coming back to that rememberingness and being conscious of our thoughts, building our mental equivalent to align with who we truly are. There's one more, and I'm almost done. There's nothing in the universe but cause and effect. Nothing opposes you. God cannot deny us. Nothing can deny us except ourselves. The universe cannot deny you anything. All things in the universe are subject to you. You are the truth, all of it, the total truth, not part of it. There's no more truth and no other truth than you.
Thank you. Thank you.